Hello and welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast. I'm your host, Robin Hackney, and I'm so happy that you're here. This podcast is a place for conversations about balancing a healthy lifestyle and being happy. More specifically, happy hour. Together, we'll explore all things wellness and wine. I hope you learn a little, laugh a lot, and along the way, know you're not alone on this balanced wellness journey. Ready to jump in? Pour something in your glass that makes you happy because it's time for Spandex and Wine. Welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast. I'm your host, Robin Hackney, and today is a conversation with my friend, Jordan Brown. Jordan is not just a cancer survivor, he is a cancer thriver. After receiving a diagnosis, going through surgeries, and still on medications, Jordan decided to start a foundation for those that found themselves in the same position, a foundation to help those battling and those supporting those patients. Take a listen and be sure to check the show notes to learn how you can help. Well, hey, Jordan, welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. I want to say I really do appreciate it. I think it's really important to kind of give some appreciation to you for having me on because I don't do a ton for you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're a small foundation. We don't have a huge reach right now, but someone like you that has a bigger reach, letting us come on and talk is really important. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, you have such an inspiring story and you know what you've done with the cards that were dealt to you and how you've turned it around. And so I would love for you to share your story and we'll go from there.
Yeah, of course. So I was diagnosed with an NTRK1 TPM3 gene fusion sarcoma when it was 2020. So at that point in time, I had a mass in my thigh, which, you know, we kind of diagnosed with being that sarcoma. It was a long process. You learn a lot about having cancer during that process and all the different red tape that's involved, and that will go into why I started this foundation. But, you know, when coming with insurance, not accepting things and, just having a lot of delays because of stuff like that, I ended up having to have radiation done and then a mass resection on my thigh. So I lost about, I'd say, right around 1/3 of my thigh. And then they moved a muscle from the inside to the outside of my thigh to give me more stability. But I think it took, about 9 months to get normal again, walking without a cane and stuff like that, just because, you know, physical therapy and everything else. So that was awesome. You know, the surgery did go very well. It was very successful from that standpoint. But then it would have been 21 in March, right after my wife's birthday, because it was right after the Big 12 tournament. I started getting pain in my groin. And I'm like, man, if I had a hernia or something like that, and then come to find out it was another mass that had grown there in my right thigh again, a right thigh area. And the issue being why that happened was because there is a systematic treatment for my specific cancer. It's called larotrectinib. And that medicine actually treats the driver for what causes that cancer. So when you take that medicine, it stops that driver from happening. That cancer can't grow anymore. Well, the insurance wouldn't give it to me because that time they say that unless you're metastatic, so the cancer has to be in your lungs or somewhere else in your body, or it can't be surgically removed, they won't give the medicine to you. So at that point in time, I was metastatic, you know, that's what they call that now. So I had blood clots and stuff. It was a really odd mass because it was right on top of my femoral artery. So it was So it was like dealing with my blood was clotting down there. I had blood clots in my lungs. They were small, but I didn't know about them. But yeah, it was like all crazy. So what they did was they gave me my medicine. So I would say I started that medicine in March, and by June of 21, I was cancer free. Medicine, you know, no surgery, gone. Yeah. You know, and I've been on the medicine since then. I'm still on it now. It's very new therapy, and that's where we kind of see cancer, you know, where it is now and all the research and stuff. You know, the medicine came out in 2000 and I want to say 16 when it got trialed. So it's very new. And so they are keeping me on it because they're not sure really right now. Since it's all gone, am I good? Or do I take it forever? Does it, you know, because there's people who have been on this medicine since 2016 are still on it and still cancer free. So there's just a lot of questions to do with the medicine. It's very new, very new, you know, but with medicine, you know, they test things for 40, 50 years and still trying to figure out what it does. So, you know, it's just, it is. So yeah, that got me where I am today. And then yeah. I, you know, started the foundation, and that's where we are now. So I kind of guess that's the whole beginning story, you know, long and
yeah.
short. So yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you said that all started in 2020. How old were you at the time?
So I would have been, I'm 31. I'm so bad about ages. Hold on real fast. I'm 32 right now. I was 28. I've been 28.
Okay. 28. Oh, so
I had my 30th birthday right after, you know, that fall of kind of becoming like cancer free again was that in my 30th. So yeah. Yeah. I've been 28. Yeah.
And then did you have cancer in the family? Was this?
No. So I'll kind of go back a little bit further. When I was 19, I did have a benign tumor in that same thigh, about the same position. Now, here's the thing, though. I was 19. That would have been 2011. They had not been able to test for this cancer then. That's how new that all this was. They weren't even testing for this cancer yet. So they're not saying that it was cancer then, but they weren't even able to even look at that, you know, benign tumor and say, oh, okay, we can see there is something, there is a gene fusion in there, and that might be cancer in the future. They weren't doing that yet. So that's kind of what alerted me to knowing there was a tumor there the second time around. I felt another lump. I'm like, oh, I've had a lump there before. That's not new. I've held it there before. So it prompted me to go to the doctor and get checked out. But yeah, so that's kind of what got that started there. And that's always people, man, like, you know, just health wise for yourself, you know, if you're like, you think something's wrong, just go to the doctor and get checked out. Yeah. I know it's tough. It's men especially, you know, and I mean, it's just, we're very like, maybe not me, I'm kind of a hypochondriac, let's be honest here, but you know, most men though, it's like, you know, we don't want to go to the doctor, you know, and we just kind of, we just feel unsure. We don't want to hear bad news, you know, but it's just so important, because if you can like get things, you know, figured out in the beginning, it can save your life. It can save your life. It really can. So I always tell people, just go do it. You know, if you got to do something, go get the procedure or the exam. It can save your life. You know,
yeah, so. It's true. I mean, I'm the same way though, too. And I think part of it also is just, I don't want to be embarrassed. Like, I don't want it to be, oh, it's nothing. And then you, I feel like, oh, I wasted their time. Yeah. I'm so sorry. You know, so, you know, I get that. I get that hesitation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're like, my bad, man. I'm trying to look out. You're like, okay. You know, I mean, it's very true. It's how, that's how it works. Yes.
So for you though, after going through this, you started your foundation and take us through that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, you know, I said that there was tons of red tape and then there was tons of transitional periods in life, right? That go on when you have cancer. For me, one of my transitional periods was, you know, I had the same job for 12 years. I worked at Quitcher. I was a lifer. You know what I'm saying? I've worked, I always working. I mean, I never took days off. I was just always about work, and then I ended. That all ended. That was gone, you know? Yeah. And even without after the leg and stuff, it wasn't plausible for me to go back to work in that capacity, because like, I just don't have the strength there anymore. And over time it would diminish my, you know, my leg over time. So, you know, that kind of stops. And then you're kind of trying to find your place in the world and where you fit in, because you were Jordan, the QuitTrip worker, you know, you were Jordan, the provider in that sense. That all ends, you know, and that happens to a ton of people that are diagnosed with cancer. And so, and then I saw what it did to me mentally. And I always tell people, you know, it's crazy. I think for me, and I've actually talked to other psychiatrists, is actually kind of a thing, but it's kind of after all the dust settles is when a lot of that mental, you know, strain comes in, because you're so used to like seeing the doctor once a week, getting radiation every day for 4 weeks, you know, having procedures, follow-ups, then that all ends, you know, and then you're kind of looking around like, oh, what am I now? And who am I, you know? And so that kind of got me in that mode of thinking how we could, you know, give back to the cancer community and how we could help people through their journey. So we started the Mind Over Cancer Foundation. And the main goal was, it's just to make sure that, and I was very lucky. I didn't have a ton of financial strain. I was able to navigate that pretty well. And, you know, lucky to have some insurance to help with some things and, you know, that the stuff that would give me or whatever, but it wasn't too much of a burden for me, but I know it is for some people. And so I wanted to make sure that if they had a financial burden, that if they wanted to get some mental health support, they could, you know, if they wanted to go to psychiatrists, they wanted to go to therapy, that was an option for them. But also not just an option for them, but for their supporters too. And I always kind of go in the conversation about, you know, I understand what I went through 100%. I get it. And I can put it into tons of words. But even to this day, I don't know what my wife went through. I have no clue what she went through. I don't know what she went through. I could see the strain it took on her at certain points in time, but you just don't know mentally how she feels. And so if I knew it wasn't good, I knew it wasn't good for her. So I'm like, you know what? Like, I want to make sure we make a foundation like this. It's not just for the people who are survivors, but also their supporters too. So they get that same amount of support around them. So the main goal is really, like I said, provide that financial assistance. So we have an application on our website, which you go on and you apply. Kind of give us an idea who you are, what you do, you know, what you're kind of about. We want to know about you as well. You know, we eventually want to give back more to those people, you know, as what we can. Yeah. If it's a night out with your family at your favorite restaurant, let's do it. You know, if we can afford that and we can make it happen, I want to make that kind of stuff happen.
Yeah.
But so get an idea who we're helping, and then we, you know, start an assistance. We usually give grants. So, you know, it based it off, you know, 6 months to a year. Probably depends on what you need financially, what that number looks like and what we can budget for. Mm-hmm. And then once we get you in there and get you a grant, you know, we just kind of keep track of you and keep an eye on you and make sure you're good. And it's nice. We have three therapists right now that I know. I can email them right now and we can talk, you know, about whatever. And so I also tell people too, if you want to go to somebody else, go to them. I always make sure that if I get someone I don't know, I go and have a conversation with them. I'll, you know, send an email out or call them just to see who the psychiatrist is, how I would work with them, you know, from a professional standpoint, because everybody's billing's different, you know, how they want to bill their patients and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, it's building that network of, you know, people that we know in this kind of mental health capacity and kind of just growing out from there. So yeah, it's been very good.
Oh, it sounds like just a wonderful resource for people.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that like therapy isn't part of the treatment when you're going through that.
Yeah, I mean, they have. So like one of our therapists was she worked in the oncology department. So she was a therapy for, you know, anybody that had cancer. And so that's what she did that for 13 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said that, you know, that's what they do. They do offer support stuff, but you're still paying for it, though. Like you still are paying for that stuff, you know, so it's just through the hospital. Right. They do offer it. I will say, you know, we are supporting people that are getting therapy like through a hospital, you know, system. But it's difficult. Like I have to like, you know, mail in checks and like get account numbers. So the red tape is there. It's not like an, you know, easy transaction. This is how it works. Like, it's kind of tough, you know, getting your foot in the door too. Like we're working on right now, trying to get our foot in the door at Children's Mercy because they're very selective who to work with, you know? So I've gotten some contacts to help us do that, you know, but, there is some work involved in getting, I always thought it'd be easy to find charities. It's really not, though. You know, I think our resources out there, but not everybody can see it because, you know, not everybody can have that connection. So just try to find different community partners, you know, like that we can, you know, have our resource out there for those people is really important. So,
Well, I know that you and I had a conversation not too terribly long ago about providing some exercise and yoga and different things like that.
Yes.
But what other resources are you looking for? If there's someone out there that's like, oh gosh, I could do this besides just monetary, which we'll get to that too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What else are you looking for?
Really anything. I met with a place called Gildas Clubs KC. If you know who that is. And then the lady, Gilda Ratner, is that her name? Mm-hmm. Started SNL. Yes. Yeah. I wasn't a part of that SNL group, you know, but I know of her name.
You're too young.
Yeah. That's why I keep getting told. So I met with them and they have a wonderful support groups. And my conversation with them was, hey, listen, I have resources right now where I can, you know, create applications and try to fundraise for financial support, but I don't have the type of resources to have 8 or 9 support groups a year. You know what I'm saying? We just don't have that, you know, or a month what they do. You know, they have awesome support. They have a knitting support group, yoga, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what I've been doing is kind of partnering with those kind of people to kind of help us, you know, we can use them as our support group kind of thing. Hey, if you want a support group, you can go to them. They're great for it, you know? So it's just finding different partners in KC that like want to help people with their cancer journey and however way they want to. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that could come to me today and say, hey, Jordan, I have an idea to do this for these cancer, you know, survivors and supporters. I'd be like, oh, that's not a good idea. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, let's try it. Let's try to do something for them, you know? Yeah. And that's how I've loved to see that the people I've at least at this point in time encountered during this that are, you know, even survivors of cancer or have other foundations have been very receptive to what we have been doing and like wanted to be inclusive, you know, because you could easily see it being a point of maybe tension with different foundations being like, well, hey, they might take some of our money away from us. And so we don't want to like deal with them or be partners with them because they might kind of hurt what we're trying to do, but they haven't been. Everybody's been very kind and open.
Yeah,
so it's important to see that. I love seeing that because, you know, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. you know, sure. But I also wanted to create partners and, you know, and meet people out there. I think it's really important. So
mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. So
anything you can offer, you know, I think that it's really important to realize that people experiencing cancer, going through that journey, can use everything at the end of the day. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, because anything can make them feel more human again. Because you kind of lose that party a little bit. I mean, sure. So, I mean, if it's a, you know, if you're still able by, if it's a golf lesson, you're a golf instructor, ask me, I'll say yeah to it. Why not? You know, yeah. it's really yeah. anything, you know, if it's cornhole, offer up cornhole, I'm down for it. We'll go play, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's, you know, so yeah, I think anything helps at the end of the day.
And yeah.
I would take it all. So,
and I know that you've done several fundraisers because you yes. mentioned cornhole, and I know you've done a yeah. cornhole yeah. fundraiser. Yeah. Yeah. Is there annual events that you already have established?
So yeah, well, kind of, we want to do about an event a quarter is our goal right now okay. for this uh-huh. coming year. So like we have a pottery one coming up this Sunday. I don't know when this podcast is going to be released, so I don't want to put a date out on there.
Okay. Yeah.
But this Sunday, I'll say this Sunday, but you know, so okay. we have a pottery event this Sunday, coming up, you know, we'll have our cornhole tournament again in May. It'll be in May.
Okay.
We're a tentative date right now, kind of trying to find one with Jeff, you know, Jeff, but, we and him are working right now to figure out, we're going to do it at Serve again. We're going to do it at Serve this year.
Instead oh, cool.
Of,
yeah.
We did up north last year. I kind of felt bad. I feel like people, like, you know, you guys and your family, like, it's easy yeah. for you to get up to Serve. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
we know so many of you, you know, it's like, we know some mm-hmm. people out south. I wanted them to be involved too. Yeah. So, we're going to do Serve this time. It'll be great. It's going to be so much fun. We had so much fun last year doing it. It was a great, great time. And, even though I won the intermediate. It was so weird. It's like, my wife wanted to play. And I'm like, oh, my wife's. She's good. She's all right. You know, she never yeah. plays. I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll play. We'll win a couple games, lose a couple games. We'll be good to go. You know, well, I got on fire. I caught fire. And we're an intermediate. I'm just over here beating everybody. I'm like, I cannot win right no. now. You know how bad that is? You know how bad that
yeah.
is? So we end up, we actually took second. We just gave our prize away. We just said that we'll give the third place, you know, person, the second place prize, fourth place, and third place prize. But I'm like, this is terrible looking right now. I'm winning my own prizes. Like, what are we doing? So. Yeah, so we'll do that. Wife will do a yoga event, probably in the fall, an outdoor yoga event in the fall. Mm-hmm. And then we're just brainstorming some more ideas, you know, trying to maybe find some more partners to do, you know, like Chipotle does stuff like where you know, for a day they give benefits from a certain store, the proceeds from that store, whatever, go to your
yeah.
foundation. So there's a lot of options out there. Just find the right ones for us that work. So
cool.
Yeah. And we'll let you guys cool. know. We'll definitely keep it out there and always post. Yeah. Stuff, so we'll get about that. Yeah, definitely.
That's great. And then what about where can people just donate monetarily?
Yeah, I mean, monetarily on our website, there's a donation thing on there. You just click on there. It's through PayPal, like for us. So you just, but you can donate with your card or whatever you want to do it. And you can set it up mm-hmm. if you want to do, you know, monthly, yearly, one time. It doesn't really matter to us. We'll take whatever you can give us because it's important for us to make sure that we just keep our funds up. I mean, you know, I want to help more people and I can only budget for what we have. You know,
yeah.
But like I said, all your donations, all the donations go straight to survivors, you know, in our operations costs. We don't, yeah. I don't pay myself. Wife don't get paid. We do it all. We just do it to do it. I'm here to just help people out, yeah. you know,
that's great.
You know, we post all of our stuff, our W-9s, whenever we get done with that, or 900s, whatever they call those, after the year's done. Because I think it's important to be transparent. I'm not saying that other foundations aren't transparent, but I just yeah. think it is important to be transparent. It's just cause like, I mean, you donate to somebody for a cause, you hope it's going to that cause, you know, as much as it can.
Right.
And every foundation has operating costs. You're going to have, you know, marketing stuff, or you got to buy something to, you know, do an event. But at the same time, you hope that most of that money is going towards survivors and supporters.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really important to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hate that you had to go through that, but I think yes. it's wonderful what you're doing and how you're giving back to people. So great. Yeah. Great job.
I appreciate it. So yeah. there's a small thing here. I just realized I was gonna bring it before, but we just started going. So we're gonna mention this right now.
Okay.
So Kendall Collette, correct?
Is that my sister?
It's your sister? Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Ben is my wife's childhood friend from elementary school. They've been friends all their life.
That's so funny.
All their life. I met Kendall. I met Kendall. I've talked
yeah.
to her. Yes. Sweet lady. Awesome. But yeah, but Ben and Kara were funny. Childhood friends. So I go,
oh my God.
Well, I saw you on your podcast page, shout her out for something. And I said, that name was, I clicked on her profile. I was like, wait, that's Kendall. I know that is. I was like, what a small world that is. But
yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure she'll see this and be like, I know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah. She will.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is a small world. Yes.
Yes.
Well, okay. So let's tell all the listeners where they can find you on both Facebook, Instagram, your website, everything.
Yes. So Mind Over Cancer Foundation, Facebook, Instagram, the website, mindovercancerfoundation.com.
Okay.
It's kind of long-winded. It's hard to get domain names, I feel like, sometimes. Yeah. When you go to our website, there's also links to our socials there. On our website, we have our support programs. We have our resource page, ways to contact us. If you have questions about like things you can do for us or things that we can do for you, there's a way to reach out to us on there. And we'll get back to you quickly. We have merchandise that we sell on our website. Every once in a while, we'll do something. My wife made handmade knitted hats that look awesome. So she made one. They're all one of a kind. So you buy one, they're gone. Nice. But that's on there right now. Our events are on there too. And we post about them as soon as we kind of a date for them. We put that up on the website. And that's about it. We have About Us. Come there and learn about us. I have the story I just told you pretty much, maybe a little bit longer on there, written out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, get on there, learn about us, see my wife and my little boy. He's nothing but trouble, but you know, he keeps me busy. Get on there and check it out. It's awesome. And I think it's really cool to see how supportive the Kansas City community can be, though. They really are. Like, yeah. Kansas City is a great place. Like, I think our community, when it comes to people around here, you have that Midwest feel, of course, that's what we're having here. But I mean, everybody is so supportive, inclusive, and just does a great job at, like, you know, giving people that deserve it the attention they deserve. So, I love it here. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, can't beat it.
Yep, I agree. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, for sharing all of that information. I know wonderful things are in store for you guys for this year. So
yes, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Robin.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan, for being here today. You are the perfect example of a cancer thriver, not just a survivor. And you're right, your diagnosis does not define you, and finding an issue early can make a huge difference. So don't be afraid to make that doctor's appointment if you're on the fence and thinking about it out there. If this was helpful to you or you know someone that would benefit from this information, please share this episode with them. There are so many resources out there to help you and your supporters. Reach out to Mind Over Cancer at mindovercancerfoundation.com for help, or to donate, or to see how you or your company can give back to those in need. I'll be playing in the Cornhole Tournament, their fundraiser that they have, and I would love to see lots of Spandex and Wine listeners there. All the links are in the show notes. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to follow Spandex and Wine so you don't miss an episode. To do this, just go to the podcast and click subscribe or follow wherever you are listening. Look for the plus sign or follow button. This is one of the best things that you can do for the podcast. If you'd also be willing to give a 5-star review, that would be amazing and much appreciated. Lastly, please share an episode with a friend or 5 to keep the love going, and join the Spandex and Wine community in our private Facebook group by searching Spandex and Wine. Feel free to reach out to me at any time by emailing info@spandexandwine.com or text me at 913-392-2877. I appreciate you. Thank you.